Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. If you will, take and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Brother Bill and Pete, I appreciate the opportunity to play with y'all. I always appreciate them allowing them and their patience of putting up with me to be able to play with them. But I always enjoy it. And glad to call those guys fellow musicians and fellow believers, but especially as well to be able to call them my friends, and I appreciate them very much. We give old Bill a lot of grief about tuning that banjo, but he's tuned up pretty good this morning. Not too bad. Every now and then he hits it there. Luke chapter 24. Luke here records about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, we celebrate that today if you're a believer, can you imagine with where your life is, the things you have gone through, even in the last week or the last couple of weeks, but imagine going through that without faith, without prayer, without other people who also pray or like-minded that lift you up. And folks, don't take that for granted. God has always been there, don't get me wrong, but under the old law, at the same time we celebrate Easter, it corresponds back to the old celebration of Passover. And in order for the Passover to occur, and for those who still believe that Christ has not come, they're looking forward to that moment, understand that they're a devout Jew in their religious beliefs. If they are Orthodox, they are having to look for that perfect animal to sacrifice to God just to worship Him. And Jesus took that away from me and you. We can come and be before Him anytime because He arose from that grave and washed away our sins. That's Easter. That's what it is all about. I know sometimes people get aggravated about all the different the bunnies, and I still never really have figured out how the bunny come into the deal, but I'll leave that alone. But of all the different, you know, the Easter egg hunts and all the different colored eggs, and I thought about that. But you know, that's just like our Lord. We're the eggs, all different colors, all different brands, some hard-boiled, some soft-boiled, some cracked. That's the New Jersey bunch. Some of us are even seeping out, you know, kind of drooling, and others of us have already just wide open. Yeah, there you go, scramble. See, y'all are catching. Some of you are sunny side up, and some of you are face down. Some of you are poached. Some of them are rotten. There you go, Marilyn. She figured that one out. For those of you that are visiting, this is an interactive church, okay? They catch on and help me out. But you think about that. And you think about the Easter egg hunts that are there and the kids, how when you have that and you cut them loose and they're going and they're searching for those eggs everywhere. And I thought about that listening to that this week. We are to be searching to fill that basket for heaven. Not eggs, people, lives. Just as God created all of those eggs, God created all human beings. And that's mine and your job, is to go tell them about the good news, to gather them together into the family and the kingdom. Yeah, Alan made a point. The battle's thickening. You can see it every day. You can see what's going on. But you know what? The more intense of that battle, the more intense you and I need to be in sharing the gospel. God's giving the time for others to believe. But that too will close shortly. Everything that has to have happened, all the check boxes are there. We're just waiting for His return. In Luke chapter 24, He begins to proclaim that He has risen. What I want to look at this morning, I'll tie it back, but I want to look in 24, beginning in verse 13, and I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word if you're able. Let you stretch your legs a little bit if you're able, but it's for His glory and His honor as we read. Verse 13 of chapter 24. Now, Christ has been risen, and He has come out of the grave. And here, there are a couple of guys going down the road, just like you and me. And as they travel, they're talking about the things of the day. And they suddenly have a guest, as we read. Now behold, verse 13, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know Him. And He said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And He said to them, "What things?" And so they said to Him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all of the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all, this day is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find His body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of an angel who said He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but Him they did not see. Then He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, He expounded to them in all of the Scriptures concerning these things. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And He indicated that He would have not, and they indicated He would have gone farther. But they constrained Him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And He went and stayed with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road, and while He opened the Scripture to us?" And so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, those who were with them, gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. You may be seated. We often take the true meaning of Easter, I am convinced, for granted to a degree. Because we look at it and we think about Easter and we think about, well, it was the Jesus going on trial and the crucifixion and being nailed to the cross, having to walk up to Calvary carrying that after he'd been beaten and all. And then they nailed him to that cross and then he hung there. And we're familiar with the fact that he was put between two thieves. And yet one of them on that cross repented and realized that he was the Christ. And Jesus said, today you'll be in paradise with me. The other mocked him. We see both sides of the coin. And then we remember the words that he spoke as he looked at his mother Mary. And then he cried out to the Father, because he had never been without the Father's presence. And he cried out, my God, thou hast forsaken me. And he asked that proverbial human question, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of the sin, and God cannot look upon it. You think about just how many mistakes I make in my life. And yet Jesus bears all of the world's sin, before, present, and future. And then he cries out with one final cry of a broken heart and says, it is finished. And we concentrate on him going to the tomb and how that we can say the trial was unfair, and then yet they wanted to make sure that somebody couldn't come steal his body and claimed he had risen, because he said he would rebuild the temple in 3 days. And so they put a big stone in front of it. And we know the story that the Roman guards were there and then suddenly the stones rolled away. And we even know that the women came that next morning and on Sunday morning and found that it was empty and nothing there but the linen cloths that they used at the time to cover the dead. The angel, as we heard in the reading, says, he's gone. But I want you to notice, those are things that we think of about Easter. I want you to notice what we read here. There's two very specific things that are captured in this conversation. And as they go at the beginning of it, they're going, these two guys are traveling down the road. We know that it's 7 miles away. We know from the scripture that it's come just about evening time and it's taken them all day because they're not in a real big hurry. They're just conversing with one another and pondering all of the events that have taken place that week and with the trial and the death. And I'm sure it probably even come to conversation with just the week before. Everybody was hollering, Hosanna, and greeted Jesus as he came into the city. And yet, he'd been put to death and buried. And it was confusing for him also. Said, now the women go to the tomb and say he's not there. And they're kind of ambling along. You know, in conversation, they're making progress. And then this stranger comes and they're kind of appalled by the fact that, how can you not know what's gone on? Here you are in the area of Jerusalem with all where all the news is. How can you not know that? We pretty much take for granted that people understand and know what Good Friday's about and what Easter's about. Jacob had a guy ask him, he said, today's a holiday? He said, what holiday is it? He said, Good Friday. He goes, what does that mean? You know, reality sometimes has a way of slapping you in the face. Got news for you, folks. That's right here in Llano. And in off some big city somewhere. That's in Llano. In 2024, somebody would say, what is Good Friday about? You see, those opportunities are there for you and I every day. And people don't understand. They have no knowledge of what's going on and about Easter. And I want you to understand what in this story here. So those things are there. But notice the couple of jewels here that it says, as they went their way and Jesus began to talk to them, they come and they find, it says, so while they conversed, they reasoned that Jesus himself drew near with them. Look at verse 16. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. When Jesus went to the trial, and the Jews themselves, and the scholars especially, those who should have known, that had studied the Bible, studied the prophecy, knew everything, and yet their eyes were constrained. They didn't know him. They're not talking about the eyeballs that they actually see with. They're talking about the eyes of the heart. And I want you to think about those you come in contact with today that are oblivious to what Easter's about. Good Friday, Easter, Christmas. Their eyes are constrained. They can't see. They know they're missing something. They constantly look everywhere. They constantly look for all sorts of things to fulfill them and for them to have reason of meaning and purpose in their lives. And yet, if you talk to those folks, especially those who are downhearted or maybe thinking about suicide, you find that they just say, I don't see a reason for me being here. There's no reason of life. And you see, Jesus is that. He gives us life. He says, not only do I give it to you at the time of your creation, but if you believe in me, I'll give it to you more abundantly. And when you pass from this world, it's not the end. There's another life. He told his disciples, I go to prepare places for you and for those to come to my Father's house. You see, suddenly there's something else to look forward to. There's things that we realize we haven't seen. But mine and your eyes have been unveiled by the Holy Spirit. No different than here. It says their eyes were constrained, and we kept reading there. And it says, then as he began to give the bread, their eyes were opened. Holy Spirit opens it. We took this morning the Lord's Supper, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He sacrificed his very being for you and I. He took the punishment that was due me, that was due you. All of those things that we could never be good enough to rectify on our own, Jesus said, I'll sacrifice myself so that you can have life. That's Easter. That's what it's about. You can't just go to the cross and say there's Easter. No. Easter is an empty tomb. Easter is part of the cross. Easter is part of the death. Easter is part of the sacrifice. But most importantly, Easter is about life and living. And Jesus, because he was resurrected from the dead and came to life in order to give you and I life. It is about the Lamb of God that was slain that you and I might live to be redeemed. Says their eyes were opened and he vanished from their sight. They had the privilege to actually know and see Jesus. I've never seen him physically. I doubt any of you physically have seen him. It's been thousands of years since he walked on the face of this earth. But I can tell you I see him every day. In people, in nature, and in talking with him. We talk about being able to grow. This Easter, if you get nothing else, these guys conversed with him. Notice that their eyes were open because they invited him to sit and eat with them, to commune with them, to take time to be together, to discuss the events. You see, we talk about the spiritual warfare. Folks, you and I will never fight that spiritual warfare without communion with God, without taking the time and inviting Him into our lives to learn from Him. Notice as it said there, they started looking at what they had heard and remembered, and they said, didn't our hearts burn? And you see, that's when the Holy Spirit begins to not only have that small little flicker like a candle in our heart where salvation has come, but He begins to make it roar up to where it's a blazing fire, and we've got to share it with others. But it cannot happen without that communion. We have folks that come to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter, and maybe Mama's Day if everything's okay, Mama's still alive, right? And that's all they ever know. There's so much more. There's so much more to know Him so much more. And it can only be through conversation, but it starts by opening ourselves up, just as these two said, well, stay with us. It says there in verse 20, but they constrained Him. You look that up. They didn't tie Him up. They pled with Him and said, please, stay with us. Kind of reminds you of an invitation, doesn't it? Lord, please, I need a Savior. Come into my heart. I want to have time to visit with You. And as they talked with Him and they learned and they saw more, it says that He took bread, He took of Himself and began to give it. And our walk with Jesus Christ, for those of us who already know Him, our walk with Him should be that we are fed, and the Holy Spirit and Christ Himself through that Holy Spirit will feed you and I as we study our Bible, as we visit and commune with others. Coming to church is part of that. Fellowshipping with those who are like-minded. We get fed. I hope you've been fed this morning. I have been. And that's the Spirit that runs with each one of us. Mildred talked about being able to have people who were willing to take of their own time and come stay with Him, or those who brought food, or those who were praying for Him. You see, that's giving of ourselves. That's part of that Spirit, that uplifting. It doesn't come of each one of us by ourselves. Ain't got time to listen to all y'all's problems and the guy's problems. I'm busy. I got my own stuff to do. I got my own problems. But yet we take time to listen to each other, not of ourselves, but of Jesus. He's the one that makes us compassionate and desire to hear the troubles and to be able to say, you know, I'll pray for you, and to follow up through that. Again, that conversation, we begin to see when we hear about the praises, and here we go, you know, Lord, that was part of the prayer. Mike mentioned we need to praise Him for it too. You see, it's important for us to be able to hear what happens, what God is doing in your life, especially if we've been praying for you or some of your family members that we've never met. We'll never probably meet on this side of the river, but we pray for them, but to hear it come back of what God is doing and restoring life. That's important for you and I. That's a growth. That's part of our foundation to know that God is actively answering those prayers. These guys took all day long to go 7 miles. Did you know at the end of that? Did you read what it said? They realized what they had, who they had been talking to, and it said they left that very night. They done told Jesus, no, stay, the day's gone. But when they had the fire built in them and they began to realize our hearts were burning as He talked to us. And you notice the other little deal says He talks about all of the prophets from Moses on. And you think about what's all in there. That's some fast talking. Okay? And the more they begin to learn, the more they begin to see. And then that night when they suddenly realized it was Him and He vanishes, they go, why didn't we realize it? Folks, there's a whole world upon a time coming very shortly with the rapture and the tribulation that's going to cry out, why didn't we realize it? And you see, you and I have that opportunity. Just like these two, it didn't matter about the time of night no more, that the day was far spent. Didn't matter it took them all day to walk 7 miles. They took off that night and went to the others. And you can bet that trip in the dark was a whole lot faster than that trip during the day. They were moving now. They had a mission to go tell the disciples. You and I should have that same mission about Easter, about a living Christ to tell others that He has risen and He is there for each and every one of us. What's the real meaning of Easter? First chapter of John says that God is love. That's Easter. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. John cried out in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus says in Matthew that you and I are to go forth presenting the gospel, making disciples. That means lifting up brand new Christians, sharing them, growing them. But it also means growing ourselves. See, the teacher can't teach if the teacher hadn't been already taught. And from teaching, I will tell you, I generally learn more than the students do, because it makes you study. It makes you get into it. The meaning of Easter? Jesus. Love. It's just not that hard when you boil it down, because that's the whole, all that it's about. And it's the fact that He loved us that we no longer are covered and wallowing and enslaved by sin, but we are free. Free from that sin. Free from that battle with the Satan. Free for the fact to be able to proclaim His name. Free to know that I don't lie in a grave and just wither away. My soul immediately before my body ever hits that grave is immediately raptured and in His presence. Are the times scary? Yeah, on one half of me they are. On the other half, let's go, Lord. Let's get it. It's coming. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming, I want to talk to you after this service. Because I'm here to tell you, as sure as He walked on this earth one day, back when, over 2,000 years, I promise you He's coming in the very near future. And it's not very far away. And what you have to realize, that rapture kicks off. That's the start button of the tribulation. And my friend, if you have not read through Revelation, you do not want to be left behind. Severe problems. What we think are trials and troubles today, they're not even blips on the screen of trials and troubles. And if you're a study of it, you see the prophecies, everything is lined up to enact those things. I don't know when it'll be. I'm not going to tell you that I do, because no man knows. But I can tell you this. It ain't far away. Yeah, but preacher, they've been saying that for years and years and years. They never had all of the check marks of prophecy lifted up. There was always a few things left. Folks, the building of the temple is all that's left. And that temple will be built during the beginning of the tribulation, the 3.5 years of peace. So what's Easter mean to you? Is it personal? Or is it just a time I make my once visit, biannual visit to church? Or maybe it means a whole lot to you today, but tomorrow it starts all over with what the world drives. See, those guys took longer to go on that 7 miles because they were discussing what they had seen. And it says they were bewildered. They were confused. I can agree with them. The world confuses me today, too. I don't understand how people can be blinded on one side of me. On the other side, I know, it's that old devil just blocking sight. But you and I have the power to lift those blinders. You and I have that power to present the light of Jesus Christ. He has risen. He is alive. And He'll put a fire in your heart to share that with others. Bow your head and close your eyes.